Now, gentlemen, this will not do. I'm not accustomed to coming out to the stables to criticize those in my employ, but the two of you have put me in the highest mood of upset and thrown my day right off. How could I stay in the parlor, sitting for the illustrious painter Mr. Wyler, when I hear my stable boy is using foul and offensive language in the hearing of his betters? And to learn more to the point, that it was the stable hand that taught him the wicked words? I'm not in the habit of employing degenerates in my household, and if word were to get out that there were such going-ons in the house of Lady Charlotte Morlaix, well, I shouldn't be able to hold my head up in polite society. It must end today, gentlemen, or you shall never hear the end of it. Now, young Hadley, my maid Maria tells me that she heard you just this morning utter the offensive phrase that... How shall my lips form the words? She heard you say to the other young men of the stables that my cock itches something awful. And further, she heard you say, when the young men were asked where you learned to talk so, that Mr. Robertson, the stable hand, had told you what your manhood was and what it was used for. Is this true? There, boy, don't mumble. You admitted your misdeed, and that's all the better for you. I'm still angry, but you have mollified me somewhat. You may kiss me on the cheek. Well, come on, boy, we don't have all day. Now, Mr. Robertson, I hold you higher to blame, for you are a man of 30 and should have known better. Did you or did you not fill this young man's head and mouth with words that should not be shared in polite society? Well, gentlemen, this is a poor showing. I must say, though, I appreciate your candor in admitting your fault. I choose to believe that you are simply ignorant of the ways that true men discuss intimate matters. I will therefore lay the matter out to you in the purest simplicity so that you may profit thereby. I believe that both of you would never say such a vile word as cock in my presence. Is that so? No, of course not. You know that to do such would be greatest impudence. Likewise, you would not say pussy, or ass, or... Yes, thank you, Hadley. You also wouldn't say shit-eater. That's quite correct. Pray, let me continue. These words are not to be aired in the public square, or even in the relative quiet of the stables. When do you think is an appropriate time to use such language? Aha! I knew I would catch you with that trick question. No, Mr. Robertson, the answer is not never. There is, in fact, a time when God, in his infinite wisdom, has decreed that such words may be used. Can you guess what it is? Oh, don't be so dull. I shall spell it out for you. These words may be used without guilt in the most intimate situations that may arise between men and women when they stand naked before each other in the act of love. This is the only time that such language is permissible, but at such time these words would lend sort of an extra passion to proceedings. For example, when Lord Morley and I engage in the act of love, aged though he may be, I may say, "My lord, may I climb atop you so that I may sink my hot and dripping cunt upon the stiffness of your hardened cock?" Reflect for a moment, and you will see that this sort of language is quite appropriate in the situation. So, too, is it appropriate on the mornings when Lord Morley might slip a finger into the folds of my womanhood, that I might beg him mightily to diddle my pussy, father, diddle it harder. The words may be vulgar in any other context, but in the sacred bower of our love they are pure and right. Now to the matter at hand. When the two of you use this language between yourselves, it subverts the natural order and makes it seem, of all odd, that the two of you are in the midst of a very sort of intimate love that may occur between a husband and wife. Why, Mr. Robertson, do you know the contours of Mr. Hadley's cock? Have you seen it grow stiff, seen him stroke it like some Spanish guitarist, seen it spread its seed? Of course not. And yet you talk like one who intimately knows that part of Mr. Hadley, and what is worse, make him follow your patterns of speech. I find it very wicked. Here then, let us try a little experiment. For the next moment or two, we shall play act as if we are lovers, and you will see what I mean. Yes, yes, the three of us, Mr. Robertson. Since you are so keen on despoiling Mr. Hadley here, why don't you begin by stripping Mr. Hadley of his clothing? He shan't be needing it. Do not defy me, Mr. Robertson. I am in no mood for it. Just slip off his shirt and trousers. There's a good man. There. Now, tell me, how do you like young Hadley, Robertson, as a lover, now? I don't rightly know is not a response, Mr. Robertson. Try now. Yes, yes, he's quite dashing, and I do believe his hair is yellow. Any poet could tell you the same. Have you not been paying attention? Very well, I must lead by example. As a lover, I might say that the young man has a healthier handful of cock than most, a fair bush of hair as well. I might also say that he has a fine chest, with two pink nipples as chaste as any girl's. There, is that so hard? What say you, Robertson? What does the lover stable hand see? You are quite right, Robertson. He does have an excellent ass, round and high and deliciously fuzzy. No, go ahead and feel it. We are lovers, if only for the moment, until my lesson is complete. Rub his ass, and don't neglect the cleft between. That, would you say, ass crack, is meant for lovers like us. Oh no, Hadley, I haven't forgotten you. Come here, and lift up my skirt. There's a good lad. Think you'll find something there you'll enjoy. Now, in this moment, with the seal of love-making over us, you may call what you find there anything you wish. Pussy? Yes, my boy. Cunt, yes, yes. I suppose baby cradle will do. You're young yet, more will come to you. Now, Hadley, while you're down there, it makes good sense for you to use your tongue for better purposes than wagging it around the stables. Give my pussy a good lick. Oh, yes, just like that. Back and forth, just like that. Oh my, well, you're eager. No, it's good for young men to be eager. There's a little button at the top there, though. Give that a good going over. Ah, yes. I must declare that the moment you came into my service, I wondered what it might be like to ride that handsome face, painting your nose with my cunt juices. Oh, God, Mr. Hadley, You are a revelation. Now, Mr. Robertson, there's a good man. Your momentary lover is engaged at the moment. Oh, fuck. With that tongue. Mr. Hadley, I would like to see you join in on the festivities. That is, your impertinence created this situation, after all, with Mr. Hadley bent over in front of you, applying himself with surprising expertise to my sopping wet pussy. Mr. Robertson, my leaking love tunnel with that golden young asshole winking at you. Do you not... Oh, fuck. Do you not have the slightest idea of what might happen next? Ah, there we go, Mr. Robertson. I knew you were quick on the draw. Down with your trousers, and look, you're at full staff already. Pause for a moment, Mr. Hadley. Look at Mr. Robinson. What a massive tool he has, don't you think? If I am not very much mistaken, he's ready to thrust it like a bayonet deep into your beautiful behind. No, no, don't object. I think you will like this very much. Back to licking my pussy, if you please. Ah, yes. Now, Mr. Robertson, do be gentle. Stable boys are hard to come by, and I wouldn't want Mr. Hadley damaged. You feel that, Hadley, dear? I have a wonderful vantage point. Mr. Robertson has got the big purple head of his cock just wedged into your globe. What a picture! If Mr. Wyler were here, I'm certain he would wish to paint it. Keep going with your tongue, Mr. Hadley. I'll let you know what's happening. Mr. Robertson is sweating with the effort of impaling you on his lengthy dick, but I can tell he's enjoying it. I cannot tell, however, if he's looking more at me with my legs spread or your curly head lapping away at my... Oh, yes, Mr. Hadley. Oh, you found the clit. More! What I mean to say is that I rather do think Mr. Robertson is just as happy to watch your masculine backside bouncing around his cock than... Oh, fuck. Oh, Mr. Hadley, that was well done. Oh, this is the ultimate peak. Oh, Mr. Robertson, look at us. We're playing Mr. Padley like an accordion between us. Drive that ivory cock deeper into his guts, Mr. Robertson. Clench his hips and make him your whore. What a transcendent cocksman you appear to be. Such a surprise you should have this hidden talent. Should we ever play act as lovers, I should very much like you to divide me with it from cunt to cap. Oh, fuck. I can hear him trembling through my loins as I grind on his face. Oh, Mr. Hadley, I will gladly refashion my favorite chair likeness of your face so that every time I sit to refresh myself, I can feel your noble nose and questing tongue discovering me. Oh, let me ride you. Let Mr. Robinson and myself press you closer and closer together with his cock and my cunt. Oh, God! Oh, fuck! Oh, God! Oh, fuck, dearie! Ah, oh, fucking shit! Balls of fucking fuckery! I'm coming! I'm coming! Ah, oh, I'm coming! It's a bit messy. Now, I trust that I have made myself clear about the sort of language I expect in my household. Good. I am pleased to hear that. I'll leave you then to clean up. Good day, gentlemen.